JT, live in Vegas.
The Knights are going to the Stanley Cup Final.
If they win the Stanley Cup, it becomes one of the top four sports stories of all time.
Shot, score!
Let me repeat.
The Knights are going to the Stanley Cup Final.
If the Golden Knights win the Stanley Cup, it becomes the biggest sports story of your life.
We just believe in ourselves, and that's been the key to this thing.
They were cast off. They were unprotected players.
You know, we call ourselves the Golden Misfits for a reason.
Kick save! Oh, Flurry, the reflexes!
I am in the belly of the beast of Las Vegas, Nevada. Hockey fans, take control of this moment.
You know, we're not done yet.
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
Oh, JT with you. Hope you had a great weekend. We are here brought to you by Golden Entertainment, the home of PTs. All those mass PTs throughout the valley is where you go to watch hockey here in town. The best happy hours from 5 to 7, from midnight to 2 a.m. It's a hockey bar. It's a sports bar. I actually watched the Cowboy game at the SG Bar at the 215 and Flamingo. And remember, the lucky lamp, the golden rewards player in possession of the lamp when a Vegas Golden Knights goal is scored receives $20 in free play. They get it. That's why they're here. They give me the adrenaline to kick off the show every day at 4 o'clock as we kick off the new year. Great weekend. UNLV Hoops. We got Mark Anderson on at the bottom of the hour to talk about the two-game winning streak for Marvin Menzies. Hello, Bueller, anybody? I mean, come on. It's one or the other. If you're going to hit the coach, you got to give the coach credit when they win some games. They're 2-0 in conference play. We're going to talk about it here. When there's something positive to talk about, we'd like to hear from some Rebel fans on UNLV in conference play. Games they're supposed to win. Yeah, get that. The New Mexico game coming up, the schedule, all of it in front of them. If you're a Rebel fan, listen up. Mark Anderson at about 4:30, 4:35. We'll talk to him on his Rebel basketball coverage. Chris Matthews, who I sat with yesterday at the Vegas Golden Night game in the press box, will join us from 8 News Now. He's here at about 20 after. We'll talk to him on an array of issues surrounding Las Vegas. And it has a feel of a local show today, which the goal of the show is to be a national local show because we live in a city that we cover national topics. So we're ready to go. If you want to give the show a call, Bobby, when I walked in, TC left. Bobby looks at me and goes, it'd be nice to get a hockey call today. I said, Bobby, calm down. I'm in a good mood. I'll get you a hockey call, but I'm not giving away a t-shirt or a towel or a pen. I want real hockey fans to call in every day on this team, especially in season, on a winning streak. This team's on an incredible winning streak and they're doing some great things. Hockey fans, light the phones up like you light the lamp. Bobby, we can get a bit out of that, can't we? Can you get some imaging? Light the phones, light the lamp. We'll do that. 876-1340 is the number. I got to all that coming up. I want to get to the NFL and talk about a couple of big things. First off, the biggest story is the Bears have been eliminated from the postseason because their kicker missed a game-winning kick. There are layers in hell. You know, you hear about Dante's Inferno. I went back and Googled it. And I Googled Dante's Inferno, the layers and stages of hell. And I can tell you when it comes to Twitter, one of the lowest levels of hell in the Twitter sewer is when you pile on a kicker who misses a kick and you do it anonymously or you do it like the great Bears fan. And did you see the video of the Bears fan leaving Soldier Field? It's classic. He's just bleep, 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 going after the kicker and all that. But that's the part of the job. Kicker's got to make kicks. That's all you need to do. You got to kick the ball out of the back of the end zone. You can't make mistakes. Unlike Seattle, you got to know how to at least attempt an onside kick. You got to pretend you know what you're doing. But when you got an opportunity to kick your team deeper into the playoffs, you have to do it. The Bears, a momentum team, a great team all year long, maybe the story of the entire season, it came down to this kick at home.
This is it right here. Ball is snapped, placed, kicked, and it is no good! No good! It is no good, and the Eagles win!
He missed it!
Again, it was off the upright, and the Eagles have won! The Eagles are winning and will win 16-15! What a win for the Eagles as the season continues!
Eagles Radio. Imagine being in your car in Philadelphia, not having a TV in here and that. It's called the double doink, off the crossbar after a hit off the goalpost. And that's probably the worst way you could ever lose a game. Take it from me. I'm an expert on this. I was at wide right. As a lunatic, crazed Giant fan, I went to wide right where Scott Norwood lost the Super Bowl for the Buffalo Bills. And that was a tougher kick than you would think. That was a 40-plus yard, mid-40 kick that he missed it barely wide right, and the Giants won a Super Bowl, which was one of their four Super Bowl titles. It changed my life. I've said this before. I said it in my book, The Handoff. I would not be here talking to you today if I was not in the stadium for wide right. And I saw some of the most insane behavior in my life at the age of 25 years old. As I ran down, as the kick was placed, the ball was placed, I was in the lower bowl, and I came down the stairs. So I was walking down the stairs watching the ball. And this was an incredible moment in my life. It is time stamped in my brain. And saw it go wide right, turned around to the crowd, hands in the air. And it's a moment that stayed with me, helped me in my life as a passionate fan, get into sports radio, have stories to tell. And now I watched that yesterday with the Bears. And I know exactly how everybody in the stadium felt because I was at a bigger one. I was at a Super Bowl where a kick decided it live. So how do you treat these kickers and what do you do? Because then after the kick was missed, I opened up my phone on Twitter and I started looking at the tweets, and it was brutal. It was just brutal. And as I tweeted yesterday at JT the Brick, we are in the critique people for a living, right? And that'll never change. Sports radio was invented for criticism. Sports radio wasn't invented for, hi, how are you? How's today going? Oh, did you see the box score? No. Sports radio was invented for fans to go out and lose their minds when something bad happens. And something bad happened yesterday. And as I said this, the kicker, Cody Parkey, is getting brutalized on social media. Not fun to be a part of a pile-on like this. Most who are doing it will regret it sometime in the future. The older and more mature you get in life, you regret some of the behavior you had at a younger age. I screw up 5 times a day before breakfast. I regret a lot of my behavior when I was young, dumb, in college, running around with a mohawk playing rugby, drinking funnels. It's not the same guy today. But I look at the kids today and what's happening on YouTube and Snapchat and the way they're treating this kid. I hope this kid's all right and he gets through it because there's been some good feedback from his teammates that are happy about it. But I want you to listen to Parker after the game and his comments because I thought he did the right thing. He addressed it in the locker room in front of the media, knowing that this was going to be just a brutal, brutal moment in his life. And when something like this happens in life, I've always said this, it could be politics, it could be anything in life. You immediately address it, you handle the situation, and then you move on.
I mean, I feel terrible. Let the team down. That's on me. So I have to own it, I have to be a man. And, you know, it's, unfortunately, that's the way it went today.
It's on me. That's all you could say as a kicker. It's on me. I lost the game. I got to make that kick. So if you're a Bears fan, if that affected you, if that affected the way you gambled, if it screwed up a parlay, I had my good buddy Bobby Yuko, former Gators quarterback, who on Friday night told me he was betting the Chargers money line, Eagles money line in a parlay. One, I actually tweeted out that ticket too. And it's just fun. But a lot of people enjoyed those games. A lot of people didn't think the games were played well. The Charger-Baltimore game, which I'll get to, was a bit of a mess. Chargers sprinted out to a big lead. Lamar Jackson finally woke up late, made it a little bit of a competitive game, and Andrew Luck just went into Houston and won that game again. I thought that Luck was absolutely outstanding in this game. He just doesn't lose. He's never lost to the Texans in his career. He's that dominant of a player. He just matches up well. He came out, knew exactly what he was going to do, throw downfield, attack, attack, attack. And the game between the Colts and the Texans were over very early in this game because Andrew Luck was playing at such a high level that he's just a mismatch in this game.
Second down and 10 for the Colts at the Houston 18-yard line. Luck out of the gun. Drops back to throw, has time, lofts into the back of the end zone. It's Dontrell Inman! Touchdown! Touchdown for the Colts! 18 yards away, Dontrell Inman finds the end zone for the third consecutive week, and the Colts opening up a can right now on the Texans. It's 20-0.
So the Texans, now that's Colts Radio, have won 10 out of their last 11. And they'll go into Kansas City. If I'm Kansas City, I'm nervous for what I just said. 10 of 11. So this is a team that just doesn't know how to lose as of late. They match up against everybody, and they're playing at a very high level. That's a nightmare scenario for Kansas City, who I believe is the better team and will win the game. But, you know, Kansas City's not playing some team that squeaked in. I mean, they've won 10 of 11. They're incredible, and they're hot. And they got the best quarterback in his prime in Andrew Luck. With all due respect to Brady, greatest of all time, he's not in his prime anymore. And some of these other quarterbacks, Andrew Luck is a guy you do not want to see. Line opened up, Kansas City, -4.5, sharp money on Kansas City. It's now at the Westgate at 5.5. Indianapolis, the total on that game is 56.5. So that was a fun game to watch. So you have two athletic running quarterbacks eliminated. Deshaun Watson of Houston, Lamar Jackson of Baltimore. What does that mean at 876-1340? What do you believe now is the future of the quarterback position? I also tweeted out and got some good feedback. If you don't have a running quarterback going forward, and what I mean by that is someone who can run out of necessity, 3rd and 11, he can run for a first down. If you don't have that guy, good luck, because that's the way the league is trending. And I think Deshaun Watson's going to be back again in the playoffs. And I think Lamar Jackson is going to be back in the playoffs again. But Lamar Jackson was in way over his head. Way over his head in that game. And John Harbaugh had the opportunity to bench him at halftime for Joe Flacco, and he didn't do it. And I thought that was a mistake. Hey, it's like a pitcher in baseball. You start your ace, he gets to the third or fourth inning, and he doesn't have it, you yank him. And you get someone else out there. It's happened to the best of them. Clayton Kershaw, go down the list. You yank your pitcher if he doesn't have it. How do you not yank Lamar Jackson and bring in Joe Flacco? I mean, Joe Flacco's won a Super Bowl. Maybe he can ignite the team. And then the next week, you make a decision. So I thought that was a lost opportunity. Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys took care of business in another ugly game at home. I thought this was an ugly game, but Dak was able to do a couple of good things. He made a big pass when he had to in the game. I thought he was a leader going up and down the field. This was the moment so far in the young career for Dak.
28 seconds left, 2nd and 10. In the gun, Prescott, snap is back, trying it again. Fade right side, ball's caught. Touchdown, Michael Gallup. Prescott says, I'm not waiting for March. I don't need a beach. Just give me that one again.
Cowboys radio is a great pass. A great pass. I mean, that was a 10 out of 10, laying it in over the defender, and that was a great play en route to Dallas winning that game. So Dallas is now advancing to take on the Rams, and the Rams opened up a 7-point favorite, and it's right there at 7. They're wearing their throwback jerseys. It's going to look really good on television. Hopefully it doesn't rain in that game. Again, if you're a Dallas fan, I'm fascinated in this game. Because when all the teams that have the bye week, you want the bye week, right? You want the rest, you want the time off. But then you watch everybody else play, and some teams play well, and you go, whoa, we've just been practicing. We've just been watching film. They look like they're in a bit of a groove, the way I've been talking about the Indianapolis Colts. So for Dallas to go into the Rams, last year the Rams in a similar situation looked bad, played a bad home game, and got knocked out of the postseason by Atlanta. It's going to be enormous pressure on Jared Goff going up against Dak Prescott. Two great running backs, Zeke Elliott coming off a monster game, Todd Gurley coming off a bunch of rest. He better be ready to go. I mean, the guy hasn't played in close to a month, right? They've shut him down. He's been a little nicked up. Now he's 100% ready to go. That'll be fun. Chargers are at New England. A line opened up, New England -4.5. It's now New England -4. Tough game. I think the Chargers definitely have a better roster than New England. There's no doubt there. Better roster, but it's another travel situation for them. And I don't think they didn't know their plan, so they weren't going to stay in New England. But remember, that team traveled to Baltimore, played a 10 a.m. in the morning game on their body clock, flew back to Los Angeles. Phillip Rivers is commuting back in a van to San Diego every night, and then he's flying back out to Gillette through Providence to play the Patriots. Can they do it? If the Chargers had all these games at home, so that they were playing at home against New England and then probably Kansas City, I think you could start lining up the Chargers going to the Super Bowl. But the fact that they have to do it on the road, cold weather games, Baltimore wasn't cold, so the weather didn't play into the Chargers. You had everybody wearing short-sleeved shirts. It wasn't snowing. The Chargers caught a break in Baltimore, and they were very well prepared, completely outcoached Baltimore. Can they go into New England and beat Tom Brady? I think a lot of Charger fans love this. I know another Charger fan pounded the money line today when he saw the 4.5 and got all over this. And Rivers is a confident quarterback now. I wouldn't say that that was a legacy game for Rivers, but for Rivers now, he's got a big win in the playoffs underneath his belt before he goes to play Tommy.
Yeah, we just found a way. We got to get better, no question. We know the task ahead next week is going to be tough, as always. This team is in this round every year. We know that, and we got to go to their place. So it'll be a heck of a challenge next week.
And New Orleans is an 8-point to 8.5-point favorite over the dirty, stinking, green, drunk birds of Philadelphia. Can Philly do this one more time? I'm not talking about cover. Forget about the cover, Vegas. Can Philly win and go in with Nick Foles and beat Drew Brees in this game when New Orleans was the best team in football all year and they're coming off the bye week and they get a home game? I don't see it, but this is something with Foles. He puts on that jersey and he becomes Superman. He puts on the jersey and he's a completely different player. So I'm looking for an upset, and I'll be talking about this the remainder of the week. We got great guests lined up all week. You're going to love the show, I hope, and we're going to get into the NFL. But what I'm looking for today is a Golden Knight fan or two, and does anybody see an upset? Again, New Orleans -8, New England -4, Rams -7, Kansas City -5.5. Who is the upset outright winner of all those underdogs? Your choice is Indy, Dallas, the Chargers, or Philly. I need an outright win. 876-1340 is the number. The Henderson Hyundai Superstore, Boulder Highway in Henderson, where the deals are done. They have the super deals you're looking for. Get on out there for Frank and the crew. We're talking hockey, and I tease ahead because the Henderson Hyundai Superstore loves hockey, and they have new deals in 2019. Chris Matthews joins us from 8 News Now, the sports director, on deck.
Reeves comes in front, he shoots, he scores! Ryan Reeves gets it through Kincaid, and the Knights are on the board. 2-1 New Jersey with 7:30 to go in the first period.
Reeves again, Dan Duva on the call on the flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. JT, back with you. Chris Matthews here in one moment. We're looking for an NFL upset as the lines are out. As we begin, let me get to Rob first, who's been waiting. Rob, go ahead quickly, go.
As a longtime diehard Raider fan, one of my favorite times of year is the time of year when the Chiefs lose in their home playoff game, which is going to happen this weekend against the Colts.
Do you like Indianapolis? Thanks for the call. If that happens to Andy Reid, that would be about as brutal of a loss as he's had in his life. If he loses, he's got the MVP in Patrick Mahomes as I bring in Chris Matthews. Chris, before we get to hockey, good to see you yesterday. We're looking at NFL upsets. You really enjoyed watching the football. We were talking about it a lot yesterday.
I did. You know how hard it is not to try to EBR these games, and you try not to find out the score, and you get home, and lo and behold, I never did find out until I was able to sit down in front of a TV and watch it because we were out there at the Knights game. That was great.
I thought that was nuts by you. So I sit up there, we get up there, and we're holding a sports court up there in the press box, and you're telling three or four guys around, don't come to me with the score, don't tell me. But still, you're in a place where there's a lot of people. I saw you in the locker room after the game. You got to go through the elevator. You got to go through the night staff. And, you know, there's a chance someone would have slipped up, and I'm happy no one did for you and you enjoyed it.
No, that was it's interesting, too, because a couple of guys were to my left, and they started, hey, now, did you see the charges? I'm thinking, so I had to get up and leave. And that's when you saw me. I said, I can't find out because it's going to bug me if I hear the scores early or what's going on. So I was, and it was cool to kind of go home and just zing through the game. And great games, huh?
Yeah, some of them had a few lulls in it. But the Charger game, which I know you were really looking forward to seeing, what did you think of Phillip Rivers? That was a big test because Lamar Jackson had nothing in that game until it was almost mop-up time at the end to make it interesting, but I thought Rivers, and especially the Charger defense, was as good as they played all year, Chris.
Yeah, that defense was awesome. They couldn't do a thing. Jackson was just,
And finally, they started going downfield a bit, but that guy was just stifled. What was he, the youngest NFL player to ever play a postseason game? And it showed. I mean, even there at the end, it's just, that's a big-time stage, and it's a fast stage. And to try to actually bring your team back when you know they're going to be coming at you, and it was a hard task. But you're right, that defense was awesome.
And what do you think, Chris Matthews is our guest as we continue. If you look at the players, the Chicago Bears, we spent a lot of time talking about Khalil Mack and that blockbuster Raider trade. But, you know, Mack, and again, I'm never going to take a cheap shot at Mack. I understand he gets double teamed, he gets chipped. But in that big game, he wasn't able to get to the quarterback. He didn't have that dominant performance. I thought Philadelphia put together a great game plan. And once again, Nick Foles plays another weekend.
You know, it makes you wonder. It's almost like it's a team of destiny again, right? The way they're playing, the way Foles came out and played, took him down there in the last minute to fire that touchdown right at the goal line. Boy, and how about the play? What could have possibly been a fumble right there at the goal line to be able to withstand that and then come back? Oh, that field goal too. How about that bear? You see the
mascot
on social media. That bear just dies on the end zone.
Chris Matthews joins us. It was a tough game. I mean, I tread lightly because I know what it's like to be a fan and for that to happen, and that's about as brutal of a loss. To have a double doink at home, crossbar, off the goalpost, crossbar, and to be a season ticket holder who went to every game and have to go to the parking lot after that is about as bad as it gets. Let's get to the Knights and the way they won that game. They were trailing 2-0, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, a slow start, they didn't look good in that first period, but give Subban credit for the stops that he made the remainder of that game to keep the Vegas Golden Knights in it.
How awesome was that guy at the end? They pulled their goalie. There was the penalty. Got a couple-guy advantage there. They're skating around, and Subban's just being peppered with shots, and he's stopping every single one. What did he have, like 20 stops in the third period? Guy was awesome. He got the first win in L.A., comes back home. Now he gets a win at home, so the monkey's off his back, and he's ready to play, and he's just I like the guy, too, because he always has a smile on his face, and he's just ready to go in. As soon as Marc-Andre Fleury sits, that guy's ready to go, and the team loves him, and it's kind of fun to see, too. Tonight at 6 o'clock here on Channel 8, we're going to have a little bit on the Ryan Reeves fire into the net moment, where he talks about that puck being on Red Bull. That's going to be kind of fun, and you know what I'm talking about there at the end of the game.
That could have cost him. I mean, Gallant afterwards, we were both there, and he kind of had fun talking about it, just a little wide, but that was a unique play at the time. But let's stay with Reeves for a second and how he's become such a fan favorite right behind Fleury, where every time he takes the ice, everybody's chanting his name. He's got a song. They put his graphic up there. He's got his own beer here in town. He is truly embracing the moment that he's in. I love it.
And, you know, we were just talking about this last year. You could almost go, what is it, 11 months, 12 months from now, when he came in here and he was taking penalties, and and everybody's screaming at the organization, why did we get this guy? You disrupted the chemistry. What's going on? They lost a couple games. Reeves in there fighting some people. But now, like you say, he's the fan favorite, loves to talk to the media. But by the way, he wasn't required last night, or after the game yesterday afternoon, he wasn't required to come out and talk to the media, but he did it on his own, wanted to come out, clear the air. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. He allowed himself to come out, expose himself to the media, take questions when he really didn't have to. So, you know what he is? Like you say, a fan favorite. People love him. They got the jerseys now. If you had to ask me, he was probably one of the top three guys on the team in terms of fan favorites.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's, you know, I don't go to as many games as you do. When I get out there yesterday, it's just incredible that when he takes the ice, everybody is aware of that. One more on the game overall. When you look at these day games and the fact that I talked to a couple of my buddies who were there with season ticket holders, and they gave the tickets to some friends who typically can't go. They can only go to day games. It's just nice. The energy in that building from a weeknight night game to a day game or a holiday day game, it's so consistent how into it the crowd is, how loud it was at the Fortress, especially that comeback win yesterday.
And that was nice to see. And how about that? Yeah, they fall behind by two, and people are going, oh, no.
Yes.
But then you get the Reeves goal, so people are fired up now. And then Braden McNabb scores the goal, and Pacioretty, who's, you know, loves the story, just had the child, he's back, he scores. So there's so many cool stories that just continue with the fan base here. They're talking about it. Literally, I think you and I talked about this yesterday, you cannot go anywhere in this town to any function, any building, anywhere in this town without seeing at least something related to the Golden Knights.
Chris Matthews is our guest. It's truly incredible to see it, to walk around the vibe afterwards in the locker room, and to see the great job that the Vegas Golden Knights and their media team do, their PR staff, to make these players available. It's just a well-run organization that continues to amaze me every time I'm around them. Chris, one last point. We're going to have Mark Anderson coming up next on the Rebels and that two-game winning streak. You sent out a tweet yesterday looking at the difference in the student section crowd size from 2014 with Lon until their most recent game, and it's concerning. It's alarming to see how many empty seats there are for Rebel games here. We talked about a little bit in the press box yesterday. It's something that this team needs to understand, accept what's happening here, and hopefully when they do have a winning streak going on like now, more fans get out there, especially the students.
Yeah, you would hope the students would get out there. I tweeted that out because that's back when the rebellion was going strong and they had the big, you know, the big heads, the Kim Kong and all those things. And the fans were just way into it. Now it's different. I guess the scary thing is if you're a UNLV fan or a booster or a supporter or whatever, the apathy is so set in that it's almost as if before you like people talking about your product. If they're talking about it and they're upset that the team's losing, that's probably a good thing because they're upset. Now it's almost like there's so much apathy. It's like, they lost, whatever, I don't care. That's probably the scariest thing, is just the apathy that has set in over at UNLV among not only the season ticket holders, but those students. They just don't even show up. There's a little core of about 8 students out there in the front row that are screaming and yelling. Other than that, there's nobody.
Yeah,
there's the guy there with the Ed Bernstein big head. Though,
yeah, you know, Chris, I want to end on that because that's important, because sometimes when kids are away at break, they're not back. You look at a crowd side. We could debate that all day long, but you bring up a really good point because a lot of the individuals who are in upper tax brackets and they can afford Raider tickets and they got Aviator season tickets and they got tickets to the Golden Knights, they obviously can afford to go to Rebel games and they're probably still there. But it's those fringe fans who are wondering, coming off the holidays, where am I going to spend my money? What am I going to do? And I can understand where they're at now, but for the students, if you got a 4-year window or it's your last 2 years at UNLV and you got an opportunity to go to a home game, I think it's part of the responsibility of the student body to show up to these games, or am I being too hard on the kids? Because that's really the core of college basketball, is the students show up first and it's everyone behind them.
I think that's it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the tickets are actually free. Get your buddies, go over to the game, enjoy an afternoon of basketball. These are guys that are in your class.
Yes.
These are guys that are working hard. It's not like they're lazy. They're out there working hard. They're practicing every day. They want to provide a product. They want to have fun with the student section there and have them get into it. But for whatever reason, the students have just said, I'm done with this team, and they're not showing up. Now, hopefully that changes. They can get a few wins going, but the apathy is just incredible. We were talking, and you know what comes down to the three-letter word, win. We were talking to some students. We had a story last week where, you know, you could blame it on this and this and this and that, but the bottom line is you got to win. But like you said, I mean, if you're a student over there, and whether you're a commuter or not, you get a couple buddies, go to the game, it's free. Why not have some fun on a night?
A week from today, the groundbreaking for the Raiders facility out in Henderson. Pretty big deal. You'll be out there covering it. We've talked about that, the site renderings and what it looks like. I don't think fans get it because they're concentrating obviously on the stadium, but what the Raiders are going to do for the shovel event out there in Henderson a week from today is pretty impressive. It's going to bring a lot of jobs into Henderson, into the Valley, and it's going to be state-of-the-art. I think when the fans see your coverage a week from Monday, they're going to be pretty blown away.
They will be, and it's amazing, too, how much is actually sprout up around the football practice headquarters facility out there, where you now have a big Costco, you got apartments going in, you got new businesses going in there. That place is thriving out there. What a location for the Raiders to build that thing. What, 3 fields, indoor field, outdoor offices, weight rooms, pools. I mean, it's state-of-the-art. As you know, JT, you're going to be involved with that heavily. You know that's going to be one of the nicest headquarters and practice facilities in the entire NFL.
Yeah, I think it will be. I mean, the stadium's not going to be as big as LA and what Jerry has in Dallas, but it's going to be the best in regards to state of the art and what they're doing. But this practice facility is going to be second to none. They are not holding back, and it's going to be interactive. There's going to be opportunities for kids to go on tours, and they're going to really dive into the community in Henderson to make sure everybody sees it. Chris, I'll see you. If not before that, I'll see you Monday. Thanks for the time today.
You bet, JT. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris Matthews, 8 News Now. Check out his reporting every night. Chris was out there yesterday covering hockey. He's everywhere, and I'm talking to him throughout the game. We sat with each other, and we just looked on in amazement as the crowd just exploded. We're on their feet. And the Vegas Golden Knight fans are spoiled one way. These games, most of them come down to a lead late. The other team pulls the goalie. There's mass chaos. Bobby, you're running the game on the board. And you know that there's going to be about a minute and a half where there's going to be an advantage, and the other team pulling the goalie, and they're just going to shoot, 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 and Vegas is trying to hold on to the win. It is stressful, the final 2 minutes of that game. But it's fun. It's a good problem to have those leads. Getting ready for Clemson and Alabama, my prediction on the game coming up. Next is Mark Anderson. He'll join us to tell us about the Rebels' two-game winning streak and what is in front of them going forward, because it's important. The New Mexico performance against UNR, what conference play looks like from a guy who's embedded in the conference. And I'll ask him, what is it going to take to get butts in the seats for Marvin Menzies, especially when the team is winning and they have some momentum going? We're talking Rebel basketball next.
That should do it. Shot clock is off, and the Rebels will dribble it out. They will go to 2-0 in conference, 8-6 overall, and they will be 2-0 in conference heading to New Mexico. 2-0 in Mountain West Conference play for the first time since 2005-2006. 68-56 is the final. The Rebels win the victory.
John Sandler on the call right here, Rebels Radio. Mark Anderson, kind enough to join us, the great Rebel Insider. Mark, happy new year, and thanks for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing well, JT. Happy new year to you, too.
Great to have you. We love having you on every couple of Mondays because we can reset what the Rebels did over their last couple of games. Good to have you on after this 2-0 start in conference. Let's stay with the positives of what worked, because some of the, you know, both those wins, a little sloppy at times, what they had to do to win both of them, but the positive aspects of those two games, what'd you see?
Well, on the last one against Wyoming, really the key was Joel and Tom Boyd just getting hot. He had 31 points and 10 rebounds, and he really was the difference for them. They also won a 16-2 run second half, made some adjustments, did some things that kind of sped Wyoming up a little bit with their defense, did full court press, that sort of thing. So they were able to shut down Wyoming's offense and do enough on their own offensive end to win. And then against Colorado State, they just kind of hung around. I don't know if they did anything special in that game. They just always stayed within striking distance, didn't play very well, never led in the second half until the final 1.2 seconds when they got the goaltending call. And that was just more of a sort of a grit and determination type performance than anything strategic they did.
As you cover this team so closely, you mentioned the adjustments of Marvin Menzies and his staff speeding Wyoming up. Are you seeing more adjustments this year than in years past, or he has to make it because of the injuries and the roster makeup?
Yeah, I think a couple things. What you just said, his hand has kind of been forced in a way. But also, you know, there's the Mountain West is fairly even. You know, you obviously got Nevada at the top, and you know, they lost to New Mexico. They're still the team to beat in this conference, and it just seems like once you get past them, it's a lot of fairly even teams. I mean, you got a Fresno State that's playing well, and maybe New Mexico's starting to get it together. And so, you know, I think it's going to be one of those seasons that there's going to be these crazy results from each week. This is going to surprise people, just because I just don't think the team's all that far apart, and so that, you know, forces coaches to be more strategic and have to adjust more.
Mark Anderson's our guest. Mark, I look at in your recent column at the Review Journal, I have it up at reviewjournal.com, you're saying getting routed would raise questions about where the season is headed as UNLV heads to New Mexico in the pit. We just saw what happened to Nevada there. They're only a 4-point underdog in this game, so the game's supposed to be close. You really make this out to be a big spot for Marvin Menzies and the Rebels this season.
Yeah, because the first two games, they were big favorites to win those games. And, you know, they really probably should have lost the Colorado State game. And Wyoming, I thought they played well second half. But still, you know, it wasn't a great performance, but it was good enough. So this now is a New Mexico team that seems like they're kind of starting to play well. Had that big win against Nevada. So if UNLV can go in there and at least be competitive, maybe even win the game, then I think that shows that, you know, maybe there is something to this 2-0 start. But if they go in there and are just never in the game, then I think there are serious questions about where this team is headed this season. Obviously the Bucknell game really got everyone's attention with how poorly they played there. So I think this would remind everyone of Bucknell if they go in there and get blown out. And, you know, because it's New Mexico, they had the nice win against Nevada, but it's still a team that UNLV should compete with.
Mark Anderson is our guest. Yeah, they should compete, and if they win the game, everyone's attention should be talked about and looked towards Marvin Menzies. We just had Chris Matthews on from 8 News Now about the attendance issues over at the Thomas and Mack. Never a problem at the Pit. The big difference between those fan bases, because fan bases come and go from time to time, and there's changes, and coaches get hired and fired. Why is the Pit such an established, unbelievable home court advantage where typically they don't have a problem with their student section? They don't have a problem with their season ticket holders. They tend to always show up.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's several reasons. One, I think even though New Mexico had fallen off, it wasn't something that where they really dropped to the bottom, or it was a years-long thing. For UNLV, with the whole mess of the coaching search 3 years ago, that really turned a lot of fans off. And then to come out and win 11 games in Marvin Mizzi's first season, even though it was, you can't really fault him. He just had to kind of throw his team together. I just think that really turned a lot of people off. And there's a lot of apathy toward the program. And then on top of that, you get the Golden Knights coming to town and, they go to the Stanley Cup Finals in their first year. And that suddenly seems like the local sporting attention's gone to them. And then, of course, the Raiders are people are excited about them coming to town. And once they get here, that's going to hurt. I think it's going to hurt you even more as far as trying to draw attention. So, and that's another difference, too, is it's a lot of people in Albuquerque, you've been there for generations, mm-hmm. where Las Vegas is a transit city, even though it's kind of changing in some ways in that regard. You are getting people who are staying for longer now and really establishing families here. Mm-hmm. It's still not quite there. It's still a city where probably the most people here aren't from here.
Right. Let's wrap it up. Two of the next four games are against New Mexico, away and then home, sandwiched in between at Air Force and San Jose State. So let's just look at the four games here and what we'll learn from this team. You summed up New Mexico at the Pit really well for us. The Air Force game and San Jose State at home. These are games. What do you expect to see?
Well, if UNLV really is going to, finish near the top in the conference this season, those are two games they have to win.
Right.
Air Force and San Jose State. And I know Air Force, you never want to assume a victory there. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy place to go. There's hardly any atmosphere there. You're playing at high altitude. UNLV always struggles there, so it wouldn't be a shock if they went and lost there. But if they're serious about being a contending team, they really need to win there. San Jose State's a game that they should walk in almost blindfolded and win. You can't lose at home to that team. So in a lot of ways, there's a lot of pressure on those two games, mm-hmm. On UNLV in those two games to win them, because they really need, especially if they lose it in New Mexico, then that puts even more pressure on them to win those two games, because you don't want to start something going the other way.
Thank you, Mark. Good talking to you. Look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks. You're always a really nice impact to our show. You're a straight shooter, and we know where the program stands. I love that about you. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for saying that, JT. That means a lot. I appreciate it.
You got it. Mark Anderson from the Review Journal. Basically, he's telling you what's happening here. And I know there's a lot of guys in the building here who cover the Rebels closer than I do a great job. But this little run here, the two New Mexico games, so most don't think they'll win the game at the Pit. As I was conducting the interview, I love our listeners and I love my friends who listen to the show. Like, this guy would have been a great call, but he just texted me during the interview. He goes, JT, forget about the Pit. No shot. The Pit's incredible. Been there twice recently. It's the toughest place for a visitor I've ever experienced. Nothing is close. Now, that would have been a great phone call for me to come out of the interview with, but my buddy texts me because he knows I'll read the text on the air. We'll see what happens in these next four games, but give me a break on Air Force, too. Stop about how tough it is. You're not playing at Kentucky. We're not talking about playing at Kansas. We're not talking about playing at Duke. Playing at Air Force. You're the bleeping running Rebels. You're supposed to have players that are able to outperform Air Force when it comes to basketball. Period. That's fact, not fiction. The recruits to come in, the concept of going to UNLV instead of Air Force and following your military dreams while playing basketball, you're coming to UNLV to play basketball to beat Air Force. Give me a break. Go win that game. And I know altitude and I know it's tough. So let's see if they can win, Bobby. 3 out of 4? 3 out of 4 would be really nice. A split would be, I think, probably fair. And could the split mean 2 losses home and on the road to New Mexico? If they lose this game at the Pit, we can understand that they'd want to catch them and beat them at home. And that game's going to be really unique because the home game is on the 22nd. Then the 2 toughest games of the season back-to-back. At San Diego State on the 26th, and then Nevada at home on the 29th. That game will be on ESPN2. We'll wrap it up next, a preview of the game tonight. What I think about this matchup. And it's more of an NFL matchup than you think. And what to watch for tonight when you're watching the national championship game. Clemson, Alabama, Part 4. Big shot for Dabo to take away the shine from Nick Saban. And if Alabama wins this one going away, just crown them. Just crown them greatest team of all time over a 10-year period.
I think the playoff has probably minimized, you know, the number of teams that really get the same kind of positive self-gratification from going to bowl games and other venues that have been really unique to allowing players to get a lot of positives from having a good season.
It's Nick Saban. What a sharp comment from him about the bowl games. Other than our friend John Cesenti in the Las Vegas Bowl that goes first. I love that game. It goes first. They had the first bowl game. They go, hey, we're here in Vegas. We're better than you. We have great weather. We have unbelievable tailgating. They go first. Great game. Phenomenal game. Fresno State. Arizona State. Now you look at a lot of these other games. Not a lot of the country cared. Not a lot of the country watched. And Nick Saban summed it up perfectly because we put everything into this game tonight. We put everything into the Final Four playoff. So what it does is it lessens the other bowls, and the other bowls just don't have the feeling of what it used to have. Used to be able to play in the Orange Bowl. Well, unless it's a national championship or a Final Four game, it doesn't have the vibe that it used to have. And now you have players sitting out their bowl games, sitting out of bowl games, like Michigan. 4 players sat out of their bowl game because they didn't make it to the playoff. So I don't think this was a good year for bowl games at all. If you're gambling, you might disagree. But I know the fan interest is not what it used to be. Coming into this game tonight, Alabama opened up a 7-point favorite. It's now 5.5 at the Westgate Superbook. 5.5. I like Alabama to win the game and not to cover. I think too much of Clemson. I think the Clemson is loaded. There are 9 to 10 Clemson players playing on offense and defense that'll go in the NFL draft. Reports are 7 to 8 Alabama players. Depending on junior eligible and players that are supposed to go, might not. So the reason why I'd watch this game tonight, it's coming up here in a few minutes, is you're really watching an NFL game. It's an NFL game. People say all the time, well, Alabama couldn't beat an NFL team. Well, you're right, because every player on that NFL team, every single one of them is in the NFL. Everybody playing in Alabama for Alabama tonight is not going to the NFL. But the players who are better than many of the NFL players you watch on Sunday. I hope everybody understands that. So Alabama can't feel the starting 11 on offense and defense all going to the NFL, but the 6 or 7 that they have on both sides of the ball are better than players who play on the Raiders or Buffalo or Detroit or Green Bay or whoever it is. Fact, not fiction. So you're going to see some NFL talent here tonight. The other breaking news, the Packers have a new head coach. The Packers have hired Matt LaFleur to be their new head coach. Check out what he's done recently. He's now the Packer head coach. Last year, this past season, he was Mike Vrabel's offensive coordinator for the Titans. The year before that, Sean McVay's offensive coordinator for the Rams. And the year before that, Kyle Shanahan's quarterback coach. So he gets the job. And everybody, what makes this move so unique is now that the Packers did not hire Josh McDaniel, Josh McDaniel went running back to New England and told all the NFL insiders he's good. He's not interested in another job. So, boom. Two big events just happened here in the last 2 hours. Packers, Matt LaFleur, new head coach, Josh McDaniel going back to New England. I told you, I nailed this one. There's not a lot of celebrity coaches left. Good luck finding your head coach. You might have to call Jim Caldwell to come back and be your guy. It's starting to look that way. Head on out to PT's 5 to 7 right now. If you're looking for a place to watch a national championship game, pull into a PT's, Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick's, the SG Bar. Great place to watch the national championship game. Have a great night, everyone.